Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Chiravana Chari. Jamuna Chiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prigadi Kacharya Ashtakarashita Shri Shima Vishnupad Goes Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prigadi Kacharya Ashtakarashita Shri Shima Svangrishla Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Prinsipaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhana Ki Jaya. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jaya. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jaya. Ganga Mai Ki Jaya. Jamuna Mai Ki Jaya. Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya. Tulasi Devi Ki Jaya. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Jaya Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Jayadeva Goswami, one of the acknowledged as one of the great Vaishnav poets of all time. And he is famous for his writing of the Gita Govinda poem, which was a favorite of Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. When he would meditate on Krishna, this was one of the poems that he would constantly be hearing hearing among his associates. So I have a short biography of Jayadev Goswami. And Jayadev Goswami was present during the 12th century, and he was the court pundit of King Lakshman Sen, the king of Bengal. And at this time, he lived in Navadvip near the banks of the Ganges. And this was approximately 300 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur considers that although Jayadev Goswami and other great poets like Bilvamangala Thakur, Vidyapati, and Chandidas lived before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conception of bhakti had arisen within their hearts and was expressed by their writings. So there is many traditional stories regarding Jayadev, and the following is considered more or less authoritative, and it describes that Jayadev Goswami was writing a particularly sensitive passage of the Gita Govinda poem. And this was describing Krishna's relationship with the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. He meditated deeply on what he had written, and he became concerned that perhaps he had gone too far in describing the exalted character of the gopis. So what he had written seemed to represent Krishna as being Krishna's position as being subordinate to that of the gopis. He had been inspired to write with his pen that Krishna bowed down to touch the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And he thought, well, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so how can he be bowing down to Srimati Radharani? So he thought about this, and he could not resolve the paradox in his mind. And so he went to take bath in the Ganges. He thought, maybe that way I'll get some inspiration. And so he left his wife, Padmavati, to cook the prasadam, for the lunch prasadam. And so while he was away, Krishna arrived at his house in the dress of Jayadev. And he went over to the writing desk, and he found the palm leaves on which the poem was being written. And Krishna picked up Jayadev's pen and wrote the verse with the line, Dehi Pada Pallava Mudaram, wherein it says, Krishna bows down his head to the lotus feet of Sri Radha. So with this, Krishna, disguised as Jayadev, sat down and took prasadam, the prasadam prepared by Padmavati. And after finishing the prasadam, Krishna got up and went outside and disappeared. So at that point, or a little after, Jayadev came back and said, where's lunch? So Padmavati explained what had happened. And so Jayadev was astonished. And when he went over to his book, he saw in the ink that was still wet the verse he thought of writing down before he went to bathe in the Ganges. Dehi Pada Pallavam Udaram. Krishna bows down his head to the lotus feet of Sri Radha. Jai Sri Radha.
Upon seeing that verse, he said to Padmavati, "It is a miracle. See, here what I told you I was reluctant to write down has been written here exactly as I thought of it." And tears of ecstasy flowed from his eyes as he understood the mystery of what had just transpired. "Padmavati," he said, "you are most fortunate. Krishna himself has written the line, 'Dehi Parapalavam Udaram,' and accepted prasadam from your own hand." So, besides the Gita Govinda, Jayadev also wrote the Das Avatara Gita, describing the 10 avatars of Vishnu. So I thought we would chant that in Bhajan. I hope it's large enough for everybody to read. Good enough to do. How about that? I would have sung from Gita Govinda, but Srila Prabhupada prescribed in a letter to Achyutananda that the verses are extremely elevated, and on the off chance that someone here may not be on the elevated platform able to receive properly this chanting, so we'll have to suffice with the Das Avatara Stotra. Pralaya Payori Jale Dhritavan Asi Vedam Vita Vahitra Charitam Atedam Keshava Krita Nina Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Vipulatare tishtati tava prishte dharani dharana kina chakra gariste keshava drita kurma sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Sati dashana shikare dharani tava lagna Shashini kalanka kalevani magna Keshava drita shukara rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare.
Tavatara kamala varena kama duta shringa dalita hiranya kashipu tanu bringam keshava drita narahari rupa jai jagadisha hare jai jagadisha hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Tattara Kamala Hare Nata Adhita Sringa Dalita Vyanya Kati Chutano Kriya Vishara Krika Narahari Chalaya Shivikramane Bale Matuta Vamana Padanakta Nirajanita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Madhuja Kamala Janata Nira Janita Janata Vanda Jaya Jagadisha Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Chatriya Rudhira Maye Jagat Apagata Papam Snapayasi Payasi Shamita Bhavatapam Keshavadrita Bhrigupati Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jagadisha Hare Payasi payasi shamita tapam Nita Bhrigupati Vitarasi dikshurane dikpatikamaniyam Dashamukamauli balimbramaniyam Keshavadrita rama sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Shurane Jaya Shamukana Jaya Maniya Jaya Vagrita Rama Vahasiva Pushi Vishade Vasananjaladabham Halahati Bhiti Milika Yamunabham Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Balaram ki jai Nindasi agya vidhir ahaha Shruti jatam Sadaya hridaya darshita bashugatam Keshavadrita Buddha Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Nivaha Nidhane Kalayasikaravalam Bhumaketum Ivakimapi Karalam Keshavadrita Kalki Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Lakshmi Vahani Dhane Kalaya Sikaravala Yumate Tum Iva Tuma Api Karala Deshavadrita Kalki Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Shri Jaya Deva Kaveri Damudita Mudaram Shri Nusukadang Shubhadang Bhavasaram Keshavadrita Dasha Vidharupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare
Hare Krishna, Shri Jayadev Goswami ki jai. So there's a nice verse in which he has summarized the song.
for translation. O Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you who incarnate in these 10 forms. In the form of Matsya, you rescue the Vedas. As Kurma, you bear the Mount Mandara on your back. As Varaha, you lift the earth on your tusk. As Narasimha, you tear open the chest of the demon Hiranyakashipu. As Vamana, you trick King Bali. As Parashuram, you slay all the wicked Kshatriyas. As Ramchandra, you defeat Ravana, the son of Pulastya. As Balaram, you carry a plow. As Lord Buddha, you show compassion toward all. And as Kalki, you kill the Malechas. So, the segue into our class this evening on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 1, is that, of course, we know that Jayadev is famous for his descriptions of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And so, what need is there for descriptions of the other incarnations or the other pastimes of Krishna in his form as the Paramatma, as Brahman, and so on? So, actually, Srila Prabhupada points out that the devotees, just as much as they relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they also very much relish the pastimes of the Lord's incarnations and his many appearances in different forms and in different ways for the pleasure of his devotees. That is the main consideration, is the pleasure of the devotees. So, this chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita as it is, verses 1 and 2, Krishna describes some very important things to Arjuna. And if we go back and look at the previous discussions between Krishna and Arjuna, we see that as of chapter 12, Krishna has explained the process of bhakti yoga to Arjuna. And this arises after Krishna displays the universal form. After Krishna displays the universal form, Arjuna, in a sense, is so overawed and so disturbed, really, that he requests Krishna, please show us your two-armed form. Return back to your regular two-armed form. And this is the point at which Krishna now explains to Arjuna the eminence and the preeminence of bhakti yoga for understanding and for approaching Krishna and becoming his devotee and becoming elevated and entering into the spiritual realm. So, you may ask, well, seeing as that's been explained, what is the need? What else can there be? And so, Arjuna, of course, he asks these questions of Arjuna, and he says, my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, and the field and the knower of the field, and of knowledge and the object of knowledge. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead replies, this body, O son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. So this is the opening salva. In other words, Arjuna, having accepted Krishna as early on as the 10th chapter, this is the rest of the Bhagavad, and Krishna having explained the bhakti yoga, this is kind of like the mopping up operation afterwards. All the things that you wanted to know but didn't quite get around to asking before you surrendered, but this is what you need to know. And Arjuna asks this question, and it's a big question, you know, Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, field and knower of the field, and knowledge and the object of knowledge. I mean, that's a big subject to just kind of throw out there. And so the Krishna's reply, of course, which carries on, he says that quite simply that I am the knower of the field, and to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. And knowledge, this kind of knowledge is presented in all the Vedic writings, and especially the Brahma Sutra or the Vedanta Sutra, which is considered with all reasoning as to cause and effect. That's an interesting part of that answer, that that the Brahma Sutra and the Vedanta Sutra have all reasoning as to cause and effect. What are causes and what are effects? And so then Krishna explains basically what we understand to be Lord Kapila's Sankhya Yoga, this description of all the different elements, of the gross elements, you know, it's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. He explains that these gross elements, and then the elements of the senses, the five senses, and then the mind, which gathers together the knowledge of the five senses. And then there are the working senses, which are the hands, the eyes, and so on. And then the objects of the senses, which are taste, touch, feeling, and so on. And all these reach culmination in the soul, in the true soul, the ego, and then finally the super soul, Paramatma. And much of the rest of the chapter deals with Brahman. Brahman is explained very shortly. And what's interesting is that Krishna explains that Brahman lies beyond the cause and effect of the material world. So we tend to think of Brahman, well, it's kind of like the Brahma Jyoti, it's kind of like everything that is. But Krishna explains that it's actually beyond. And then Paramatma, this description of the super soul is actually five verses in this chapter. But what was interesting to me is that in verses 8 through 12, Krishna explains what is knowledge. And there are 20 different items that are considered to be knowledge. And when you think of knowledge in the Western sense, these don't have anything to do with what we would consider knowledge. Because in the West, our understanding of knowledge mainly concerns the cause and effects of material atoms, molecules, and so on. It's not involved with the higher processes of thinking, feeling, and willing, which are part of the constitution of the soul. So I'll just run through the list quickly. There's 20 of them. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever they may be, whatever there may be, is ignorance. And so this doesn't equate at all with a Western concept of what knowledge is. But Krishna is explaining it from the different aspects of Maya. There are five levels of Maya, you can say, which Krishna explains. Anamaya, which is the search for food, the search just to survive. pranamaya, which is the understanding of the living entities, understanding that all living entities basically have this urge for life, the urge to exist. Then we come to jnanamaya, which is knowledge, and we understand this to be this, and this is what Krishna is explaining in these five verses. And then vijnanamaya is the application of these principles that Krishna outlines. And then finally anandamaya is the platform of enjoyment of Krishna, where Krishna is enjoying with his devotees. So just to hark back to the poems of Jayadev, the poems of Jayadev we understand to be on the anandamaya platform. They are this example of the ecstasies of Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world. And so this is an incredible list when we think about it, but Srila Prabhupada says that constant and unalloyed devotion to me is the key is the key aspect of knowledge. That without this constant devotion to Krishna, the other 19 are more or less without any point. You know, they don't apply, kind of thing. They don't really reach the platform of knowledge. So we're very fortunate that we actually have a spiritual master who can explain these things to us. And what I like about the Bhagavad Gita, I do want to compile at some point a list of Krishna's lists. There's so many of them. In the 10th chapter, there's the list of Krishna's opulences, which after Arjuna surrenders to Krishna, he asks Krishna, please explain to me all your opulences. And for the next 20 verses, Krishna just explains all the various opulences that he exhibits and he performs and what he does and so on. And these lists are very inspiring. And so I'm working on it, and, hopefully. But this is a lifetime's work. Actually, to understand the Bhagavad Gita, this is the essence of our lives, the essence of our practice of Krishna consciousness. We have to examine these things and be aware of these things at all times. One of my favorite things is, especially when there's illness, people think, why am I having this single illness? You know, right now, you have the shingles, and you have the flu, and you have all these things that are going around, as Mother Mukhya mentioned, flu is going around right now. And so the verse that for me comes to mind is Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukkha Dosh Anu Darshanam. Anu means continually. Darshanam means seeing. Anu Darshanam, which you always be seeing the doshas, the faults and tragedies, you might say, and dukkha, the unhappiness of birth, old age, disease, and death in this material world. It is a constant reminder whenever we drive past CVS or Walgreens and we see free flu shots or whatever, we can know, yes, people are suffering constantly, and we are likely to join them at any given moment. You know? So another point that is made in this chapter is the different kinds of cause and effect, that the cause and effect of the material nature, on the material level, on the gross material level, we have cause and effect. And on the higher level of consciousness, we have enjoyment and suffering. So these two levels are what is called karma. Karma in this material world depends on these two levels of enjoyment and suffering, and cause and effect. That every action has an, as I think it was it Newton who said that every action has an has a reaction, equal has an equal reaction. And so we understand that this is the nature, this is what material nature does, how it operates. So and Krishna follows this and explains that the living entity follows the ways of life according to the three modes of material nature, and thus he meets with good and evil among various species. That just as we were thinking that, okay, I'm a human being, and my field of knowledge is this body. But really, as someone was pointing out in the class the other day, this body has something like a trillion cells in it, of which I have no knowledge whatsoever of who these cells are and what they're doing. And there's also trillions of bacteria that are, you know, sitting in this body also, of which I have no knowledge. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't know who they are, but they're there, apparently. And yet I am the knower of this particular field. It's a very amazing kind of understanding. And this is the kind of understanding that we realize comes from the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. This is one of the most important factors of our understanding, is that this kind of knowledge is coming through Krishna, from Krishna's representative. And we accept it, and because we see the validity and we see the truth in this understanding, then we can have the faith that allows us to accept the writings of Jayadeva Goswami and the writings of the six Goswamis. Who's actually considered that one of the things mentioned in this article on Jayadeva Goswami, actually I think it's in Chaitanya, you know, it's actually in Chaitanya, one of the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that in the Gaudiya, in our Sampradaya, the considering of who are the Mahajans in our Sampradaya, and from Lord Chaitanya we understand Swarup Damodar, who is one of the Mahajans. The six Goswamis are the Mahajans, and Jayadeva Goswami is also considered one of the Mahajans of the Sampradaya, as we know. So there are so many things I could go on and on, but time is running out, and I don't know if there are any questions, additions, if anyone would like to.
Yes, please. You know how long before Lord Chaitanya appeared?
It says around 300 years. It says he in the 1100s. That was the article that I read. Now, he was King Lakshman Sen of Bengal, King of Bengal. I think there is some historic dates to his reign. And then that would indicate when Jayadeva Goswami was on the planet.
He was Bengali.
Yes, he was born in Birbhum, which is in a district of West Bengal, what is now West Bengal.
Thank you.
Yes, hold on. Yes.
And so impersonalists use that same verse to understand that Krishna is within all of us, seeing out and just pure consciousness.
Yes.
So
Yes, our understanding is that there are two aspects of Krishna. There is the Jivatma aspect, which is one of the energies of Krishna, you could say, and that is the individual living entities. Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yayedam Dharyate Jagat. That's the verse in the 8th chapter, 7th, 8th, I forget. And so Jiva Bhuta, that's the Jiva energies, the Jiva entities. Bhuta means living entity. Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho, dear Arjuna, Almighty One, mighty arm to Arjuna. Yayedam Dharyate Jagat. So, Jagat, the universe, and Dharyate, they are carrying, they're holding up the universe. In other words, the universe, the material universe is existing because living entities want to be here. And it is their desire that is lifting and upholding and energizing, you might say, the material energy to act in the way that it does. So that is the difference, but the Supersoul acts merely as a witness to that, and he also acts as the permitter. There is another verse here, which I... Ah, yes. In text 23 of this chapter, Krishna says, the overseer and the permitter is Paramatma, the Supersoul, situated in the body, and is the transcendental enjoyer and supreme proprietor. So his function as the enjoyer, and that this is echoes from the 5th chapter, is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So Bhoktaram, Bhokta means enjoying. So that he is the enjoyer of all these things, and he's the transcendental enjoyer and supreme proprietor. So, as the proprietor, he's the controller. We can control to some small degree what is happening in our bodies. We can't control, but as a consciousness, you know, we don't control the cells, and we don't control the creepies and crawlies that are inside the body. We control the gross actions, you might say, of the body. But the super soul, he is controlling everything within the body. And that's why sometimes this potency of the Lord is called achintya. And chintya means intelligence, consciousness, understanding. And so achintya means it is not understandable by our faculties. And so Krishna actually gives two analogies in the next verses, 33 and 34. He says the sky, or space, we would call it space, does not mix with anything. Although it's all pervading, it doesn't really kind of get affected by whatever we do, however the wind blows, wherever the planets and the stars move. Space as an entity is not really affected. It's just there. It just is a plane. It's an energy in which these other things go on. And similarly, he says, the soul situated in Brahman vision, in other words, when you are on the platform of seeing Brahman, you do not mix with the body, although you are situated inside it. Those analogies are the closest that we can get to understanding how Krishna works in this material sphere. So, and as the sun illuminates the universe, so the living entity, the soul, illuminates the body by consciousness. So these are the two analogies, the analogy of the sun and the analogy of space. And that's, for example, the modern scientists, they consider that space is just empty. But we know, even if you logically think about it, when they send a rocket up to space and they have a satellite, the satellite may be sitting somewhere near Mars, right? and that it's sending signals through space back to the Earth. At least we think we accept that they do these things. But at the same time, if there was nothing in space, how would these signals get through? The signals must be operating within some kind of energy in order to get back from outer space. Just like we understand on this planet, there's air. And when we make sound vibrations, we understand that it's actually the air vibrating, and you have echoes where the vibration bounces off and things like that. So we know that it's the air, but in space there's no air. So what is it? It's got to be something, And so now the scientists are coming up with these theories. Oh, it's dark matter. Dark matter just means they don't understand what it is. So this is how. But anyway, I think I strayed a little from your original point, which was that who is the controller? To say that the tattva, yes, this is one different, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, as I say, it's not easy to explain in our terms.
Obviously, Krishna is.
Yes, Krishna is the whole, and we are the part. That's. So, thank you. Yes, one lady there is. Yes.
Prabhu, Jayadev Goswami has extensive pastimes in the temple of Lord Jagannath, where he wrote, this song was written in Jagannath Puri, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell us some of those pastimes? Because I seem to remember that they are really extensive. And there was a charter which they actually wrote before this prayer on the charter, and they would play a lot of with this charter every evening, and they would sing this song.
I'm not aware. As the article that I said, there are many, many stories of Jayadev Goswami, and we don't know which ones are legend. Which ones are kind of like made up stories and which ones are the reality. But this one is widely accepted. This particular story is widely accepted as being bona fide. So I'm not sure. But he did live in Jagannath Puri for some time, yes. That's true. So, of course, to really understand these things, we ask everyone, please chant Hare Krishna, and stay close to the holy name, and meditate. Our meditation is on the holy name, and I often, whenever I want to chant or try to get into chanting, I'm always thinking, I'm always praying to the holy name to give me guidance and to keep me fixed on the holy name when I'm chanting. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much.